Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
This is show 116 of Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast where we look at all things intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. In the last show, Laurent talked to various people about helping university students to integrate culturally when going on semesters and internships abroad, and we'll be hearing two responses to that. I wonder if you remember the idea of going out to practice your language on members of the public when I talked to Jason West about his Languages Out There concept back in March. At the time, I wondered how this could work for a class not based in an English-speaking country, and Jason West told me the approach worked equally well online. So in today's show, I explore that option. Talking to Richard Wood in China, I discovered that sometimes the Languages Out There approach comes naturally.
But then I decided to literally get out there. As soon as I needed to do something, I tried my best to do it myself without help using the Chinese that I knew. And when I came across a barrier, I would write down the words that I don't know, the things that I really need to say but don't know how to, and then find my Chinese friends and my colleagues to help me get over this obstacle.
We'll also be hearing how well-qualified young people in Morocco can still get intercultural experiences even though they're unemployed.
It's a way, it's an opportunity for them to discover other cultures without going abroad, since the problem of visa, since the problem of borders, etc. So when we receive many volunteers.
But Jason West himself recognizes that sometimes he has a selling job to do with his approach, as not everyone recognizes what he does as teaching.
I think after the Berlin Wall came down, the start of the 90s, when Russians started coming to London to learn English, in the first few years, every Russian who came to my school would end up, after the first or second lesson, in the Director of Studies office complaining. They said, "Why does my teacher ask my opinion?"
Back in March, we talked about the Languages Out There approach, which consists of preparing students in the classroom and then sending them out with mini-tasks which involve interacting with the general public outside the classroom. For those classes not based in English-speaking countries, Jason suggests organising students to interact with English speakers online. I spoke to Jason about how he developed that side of the approach and how practical it could be.
I was having a chat with one of the teachers, and he said, "You know, you use Skype, don't you? I do as well. You know, wouldn't it be good if we could do something with it?" And looking at how our materials worked and the sort of the linear progression of the use of the information in the lesson plan to a point at which someone has to use it and speak to someone, it lent itself, in my eyes, to being used online. Someone could be taught the normal way in a classroom or do some self-study with the materials and use Skype to speak to an English speaker and practice the language. Online language exchange, spoken language exchange, is fraught with problems that can easily be overcome by providing a framework for the learning experience, which is what EOT does. EOT is a tool that gives it structure.
I'm wondering whether this system is for everybody, because I think they're probably in some parts of the world where they wouldn't even recognize this as teaching or learning.
I think you're probably right. It's funny though, because, you know, I've been recently having chats with some publishers and people who are interested in our materials and, you know, how they work and all of that. And one very big publisher said to me, you know, "Oh, well, this wouldn't work in the Middle East, because, you know, Muslim females wouldn't speak to anyone online, la 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 la." And I set up a class on WizIQ, which is a free sort of virtual classroom. I did it to see who turned up, and I had 4 females from Saudi Arabia in there.
After speaking to Jason, I decided to ask Richard Wood in China how he applies the Languages Out There approach in an environment with very few native speakers available to practice with.
They have some time at the weekend to get online, go to the internet cafes, but they're a little bit noisier, and the students are quite shy or embarrassed to practice their English in a room full of, I don't know, up to a couple of hundred other people who might look at them quite strangely speaking English in a, you know, 100% Chinese environment. With the face-to-face option, where I encourage students, classmates who don't know each other to either try over the phone or meet up in a cafe or for dinner and practice their English. I didn't try to force them to speak English for the whole evening or the whole lunchtime, but just enough to give them a good enough practice. The students did that once. They did find that strange, especially when they invited some of the students who, some of their friends who weren't students of the course, and they just thought it was a really alien concept, weren't really that open-minded about it. So it was, that had limited success. So so far, I think finding a native speaker on the internet has been the most successful way to practice the languages out there style.
Now, when your students are practicing their English online, how targeted is it?
I try to make it as targeted as possible, because a lot of my experience of being approached by people on the street here, where there's only about maximum 1,000 foreigners in a population of 4.5 to 5 million people, it's always the same conversation. And try to explain to my students that no matter how many times you practice the self-introduction conversation, you can only get so good at it. You need to expand what you're saying. So the self-introduction works for the first conversation, but after that, you've got to use the new language, otherwise you won't retain it, and not wasting your time, but you're not getting the maximum benefit out of the practice that you're looking for.
So where do Jason West's ideas come in for you? I mean, does it help you, for example, with lesson plans?
Yes. The language out there approach caught my attention when I was looking for new teaching materials here, because a lot of it is all focused on either examinations for high school, universities, or for students going abroad, TOEFL and IELTS, which the materials are good, but they don't focus on improving students' ability to speak, to communicate with real people in real situations. And I really strongly believe in what the languages out there is trying to do.
You may remember that I met Rachad Izzat from Rabat in Morocco at the Anna Lynn Foundation Forum in Barcelona in March. Rachad is program manager at Chantier Socio-Marocain, which organizes volunteer work all over Morocco. And he explained how voluntary work leads to intercultural exchange without even needing to leave Morocco.
Well, our organization was founded in 1963. It's a very big organization. It's a national organization with several local groups in Morocco. We have local groups in the south as well as in the north. We are working in several fields. Some of them, they are working for their community, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we organize as the national office some activities where we gather these Moroccan volunteers with international volunteers to work together in many projects. So our work is focused on three pillars. First one is youth. So all our members are youth from 18 to 40 years, and sometimes more than that. The second is the cultural exchange, and the third is volunteering. So if we combine these three pillars, then we can have the ingredient of a good social work, where we can try to work in many fields like education, like working with children, working with disabled, working in local development, etc., etc., etc.
And can you tell me, why is it that you find it so easy to get young people to give their time voluntarily?
Yeah.
Well, in Morocco, most of the youth who get their diploma, it is not easy to find work. So we have a huge number of volunteers who are with us, working in a weekly, in daily basis, because they believe that doing this kind of activities will allow them to have easily a work afterwards. So that's why we have this this huge number. And also there is many of them who like to do this work, because in one hand it's a way, it's an opportunity for them to discover other cultures without going abroad, since the problem of visa, since the problem of borders, etc. So when we receive many volunteers, of course we are doing some concrete project, but inside this concrete project we are doing intercultural exchange. And this is one of the motivation that many of our youth are there, and of course there is many other reasons why.
Can you give an example, a concrete example of a project where international volunteers have worked with your volunteers?
Okay. In Morocco, we have short-term project and long-term project and permanent project. Short-term project is a work camp that we gather around 20 people from Morocco and foreigners who work together for a school, for an orphanage, for a social institution that needs help. Long-term project is when the volunteer stay in Morocco for 1 year working in some different area, like working with children, working with elderly people, working with disabled, depending to the project that we have. And then we have permanent project. The permanent project is done by the local groups of Morocco. Local groups of CSM in Morocco. For example, in Casablanca, we have a vestimentary bank project, which is a permanent bank, permanent project, where we collect clothes from rich people and then give it back to poor people. We have, for example, a restaurant for children, students, because in Casablanca, it's always hard for the children to go back at home at 12 o'clock and then coming back at 2 o'clock to the school, because they don't have money, they don't have enough money to do it. And sometimes it is a reason for their parents to stop these children to go to the school. Then they stop all the process of education. So one of the projects is we are making a restaurant where children can come and eat their lunch for free. Of course, as I told you, we are 40 local groups in Morocco, and if I want to say, it's many projects. It depends to the needs of each local groups. In Sahara, for example, they have another needs. In the mountains, they have also another things. For example, in Rabat, we have doing a class where we teach young girls about data, about internet, about to use it in a social field. So it's a huge number of projects.
If you wanted to get involved with CSM, you could, for example, sign up to a trekking project this September or October, staying with local hosts, learning a little Arabic, and being shown round some of the main historical sites, and then trekking in the Atlas Mountains. You'll find more information on their Facebook page. In show 115, Laurent explored how students on a semester abroad can be helped to integrate more smoothly into the local culture. In response to that, we heard from Claudio Munoz, who told us about a book he'd written about his experiences as a South American student in a US university. The book is called Because I'm Human, and you can find a link to it on our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. We also heard from Judy Buenaflor, who told us, as a doctoral student whose coursework is focusing on the globalization of education this semester, I found your show most beneficial. At my college, we also have international students. I will now go to the administrators who monitor these students and ask about our program and see how it compares and contrasts. So thank you very much to Judy. And it's nice to think that the show may have made life a little easier for some temporarily relocated students. If you have any comments or suggestions, then do add them to our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. Now, back on the topic of using members of the public to improve your language skills, I guess that what Jason West's methods do is to enable less motivated or less confident learners to make progress. While speaking to Richard Wood in China, I realized that the language out there approach is simply what a motivated person might do.
I use myself as an example for the students. I've been here for 4 years and I've been studying Chinese since I arrived. The first year without too much success, but then I decided to literally get out there. As soon as I needed to do something, I tried my best to do it myself without help using the Chinese that I knew. And when I came across a barrier, I would write down the words that I don't know, the things that I really need to say but don't know how to, and then find my Chinese friends and my colleagues to help me get over this obstacle. And then I went to the local university to study Chinese full time, so I'd have the mornings in class, and then lots of my classmates lived on campus, so just went from their classroom to their bedroom and then went on the internet, whereas I lived about 30 minutes away from the campus. So I'd finish class and then automatically be into a natural language environment, where if I need to do anything involving interaction with another person, I had to use the Chinese. And I made great progress. So when I found these materials available for English speakers, I knew that it would be successful if the students embrace it.
Mm. And do they embrace it?
They are slow to warm to it. They like the idea when it's suggested to them. But actually taking the first step to make contact with a stranger and start talking lets them down a little bit. But there were two small groups this winter holiday, and they all had a good attitude, and they all tried it with varying success, possibly due to the level or maybe the openness to the idea. But I do feel at the end they were trying to get out there, so to speak.
Do they tend to do it in pairs, or do they work on their own?
I had a mixture. The two male students I had, that they did it in a pair, they were the most enthusiastic about reporting back to me, because I think they didn't speak in pairs, but they stayed around and helped each other. One would be speaking, the other one would be, they would both be listening, but only one speaker at a time. So I think there was a little bit of a safety net for them. And also made it a little bit more enjoyable, as long as they weren't embarrassed about making mistakes. It felt like a bit of an adventure. I think that one female student I had kind of didn't connect that well over the internet, so it was more of a lonely experience. She thought that she was talking to a computer, not talking to a person on the end of another computer. So I think it's a little bit to do with personality and also the mindset of the students to just give it a go and not worry about losing face, which is a big Chinese issue that comes into the language learning, that they don't want to do it until they can do it really well. But you don't get really good at it until you practice. It's a bit of a paradox that they suffer from.
And back in London, Jason West has experienced his own clash of cultures in the classroom.
Because of the time they've spent in that process from nursery to primary school to secondary school to university, they become accustomed to believing that their, you know, education is education as they've been taught. So they have an educational culture in which they're a part of it. And for example, a graphic illustration of when educational cultures clash is that in the, I think after the Berlin Wall came down, the start of the 90s, when Russians started coming to London to learn English, in the first few years, every Russian who came to my school would end up, after the first or second lesson, in the Director of Studies office complaining. They said, why does my teacher ask my opinion? Because in Russia, the way they were taught was, this is how it is. You do this. And the communicative way of teaching was anathema to teaching languages in Russia. They were still on grammar translation. So, you know, everything's changing, and it's changing fast because of the opportunities that technology provides. And so technology is just a tool. But what technology provides in the context of what we do is it provides a tool that's very, very useful and can be used in a way that's helpful to the learning process.
Don't forget that a lot of English Out There materials are available free of charge from the English Out There website or their Facebook page. And of course, you can find all the links on our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you can also leave a comment. The next show will be coming to you from Laurent Borgmann in Germany on September the 3rd. Thank you so much for listening.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.